Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a study titled, How to be Filled with Light. Our text was Luke chapter 11 and verses 29 to 36. There was more in this text than we could cover in one program, so we'll be continuing our study on this broadcast. As we began our study last time, I said this text reveals several processes that teach us how to be filled with light. The first process we looked at was acknowledge the light, that is, acknowledge its existence. I'm reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that's please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards them that diligently seek Him. But in our text, instead of acknowledging God's power and believing on Him through what they had just witnessed, Jesus' audience demanded a sign from heaven. Well, friend, I urge you to stay tuned now as we look at the next process in how to be filled with light. As we begin, I'll read the text, Luke chapter 11 and verses 29 to 36. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. The second process, then, is acquaint yourself with the light. Here again, I remind you of a detail that is particular to Luke. His narratives often pair a man and a woman in the teachings of Jesus. It's just one of the ways we see the elevation of women's status in the New Testament. Jesus continues to address the crowd by introducing the Queen of Sheba. We read the account of her journey to Jerusalem from southern Arabia in 1 Kings chapter 10. She had heard of Solomon's fame and glory, and she came to check it out for herself. As far as wealth was concerned, she was no slouch. She came with a huge train of camels loaded with spices, gold, and precious stones as gifts for Solomon. Now, we have no indication that she was a God-fearing woman, but she was interested enough in seeing Solomon's kingdom and inquiring about his wisdom to make the long trek of about 2,400 kilometers, or about 1,500 miles. After she asked Solomon lots of questions and got his answers, after she ate at his table and saw how he managed his affairs, she was completely overwhelmed by his wisdom and the glory of his kingdom. She told him how much she had heard about him and his kingdom, but she really didn't believe it. But now she had seen it with her own eyes, and she said, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed your fame of which I heard. How did all this happen? It happened because the Queen of Sheba had a desire to acquaint herself with the light. She said, I heard about it, but now I've seen it. And then the queen did something surprising. She blessed Solomon's God, Jehovah. She said, Blessed be the Lord your God, which delights in you, to set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do judgment and justice. She recognized the hand of God in Solomon's great wealth and wisdom. You know, this is an example of what God wanted to do for Israel under the promises of the Old Covenant. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. There God promised Israel that if they obeyed him, he would bless them so tremendously that the world would take notice and give glory to the Lord God of Israel. That's exactly what the Queen of Sheba did, and Jesus holds her up as an example to be followed. Then Jesus had some further words to say to his audience. He warned them that the Queen of Sheba would rise up at the time of the judgment and condemn those who were listening to him because of their unbelief. She traveled 1,500 miles just to hear the wisdom of Solomon, who, even though he was wise, very wise, he was still only a man. Now, someone greater than Solomon was among them. They refused to hear him. Jesus' words irritated some of his listeners. That they would be condemned by a Gentile woman at the judgment? That was preposterous. After all, they were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were children of the covenant. I would say there's an important lesson there for us. No matter what family or people group we are born into, we are all born in sin. We are all born with a bent toward darkness, toward evil, and it takes a conscious effort to acquaint ourselves with the light. The Queen of Sheba is a good example for us today. She spared no expense or effort to come and see for herself the wisdom of Solomon. What price are you and I willing to pay in order to acquaint ourselves with the light? I'm reminded of Solomon's words in Proverbs chapter 2. I don't have time to read that chapter for you, but I encourage you to read it later. At least read the first 9 verses. Because in those verses, there are at least 10 verbs, imperatives, which describe the pursuit of wisdom as something that takes diligent effort. Acquainting yourself with the light is not something that will just happen. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2, Solomon writes, It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Let's not be like the people in Jesus' audience who refused the light, even though it was right in front of them. There is severe judgment for those who refuse to acquaint themselves with the light. The next process, then, in learning how to be filled with light is accept the light. As Jesus continues speaking to the crowd, he returns to the example of Jonah. Many people today are familiar with the dramatic account of Jonah being swallowed by the great fish, but they don't know the end result of Jonah's experiences. Remember, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of coming judgment. Nineveh at that time was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians were known for their brutality and their ruthless conquering of many surrounding nations. One relief from the palace of Tiglath-Pileser III, a king of Assyria, shows scribes making a record of the number of prisoners and the amount of plunder. At the feet of the scribes lay severed heads of victims in order to ensure an accurate count. That's the kind of people Jonah was told to go and preach to. The focus of Jesus' example here is not on Jonah. It's on the Ninevites. These brutal, ruthless pagans repented at the preaching of Jonah. They didn't know who this fellow was or where he came from. All they heard was the message he proclaimed. And it was not an elaborate sermon. It was just 8 words. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. But what happens? Immediately, the people begin to turn to God. The news of Jonah's message reaches the king, the man by whose word you live or die. And what does he do? He strips off his beautiful royal garments and sits on an ash heap. Then in repentance, he proclaims a fast and orders everyone to put on sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals were to be included. And all were to, quote, turn from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. That's amazing. But this is what happens when people accept the light. Jonah was the sign of impending judgment to the Ninevites. His supernatural appearance and preaching triggered widespread repentance. Likewise, the supernatural appearance and preaching of Jesus and the repentance that accompanied it signified impending judgment. But there was a difference. The difference was there was a positive response to Jonah's ministry, and by the Gentiles, no less. That postponed God's judgment. The negative response to Jesus' ministry did nothing to postpone God's judgment on Israel. This judgment consisted of the postponement of the kingdom and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Jesus stated that those formerly wicked men of Nineveh who had repented at the preaching of Jonah would rise up at the judgment and condemn those listening to him. Now, one much greater than Jonah was here, but the majority refused to hear him. And the consequences of that refusal would be devastating. You see, my friend, the light demands a response. Though God's revelation of himself at the time was much less than what we have today, both the Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites chose to respond positively to the light. Most of Jesus' hearers, with the true light in their midst, did not accept him. We face the same choice today. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, How to Be Filled with Light. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, How to Be Filled with Light. I'll be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, How to Be Filled with Light, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study from Luke chapter 11, How to Be Filled with Light. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.